Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks for joining me this week. You know, I have to start with my motivational quote, and this week it's by Bill Bradley. And Bill says, respect your fellow human being, treat them fairly, disagree with them honestly, enjoy their friendship, explore your thoughts about one another candidly, work together for a common goal, and help one another achieve respect. You know, we're faced daily with headlines or often our own encounters of disrespect in the workplace. Whether it's the attention-grabbing Me Too stories, fearful business practices, hostility, discriminatory actions, or multi-generation conflicts, and that's just to name a few, workplace disrespect has actually grown to epidemic proportions. You know, these actions and behaviors impact productivity, teamwork, and overall job satisfaction. Why? And what can we do about it or do something differently? Well, today I have two amazing guests to help us break down this topic and review some of the key steps to help us sustain respect in the workplace. My guests today are my two partners in crime, my business partners, and I have Al Giobi and Cindy Rowan from the Roundtable Group. They're going to provide some background on this topic and share how personal and organizational character can actually connect to foster an environment of respect. So let me tell you a little bit about Cindy. Cindy served as president of her own consulting and training firm. It's called Performance Management Solutions, and she's been doing that for over 25 years. Cindy has successfully helped a variety of organizations of all different sizes improve their profitability and by designing and implementing leadership, management, and organizational development initiatives. Now, Al, he has over 30 years experience, he doesn't look that old, in the banking industry. He leads and mentors his team of managers and staff in all aspects of a banker's life, sales, and of course, relationship building, leadership development, coaching, staff development, operations, and compliance. Whew! So please help me welcome really my two good friends, Al Giobi and Cindy Rowan, to the show. So guys, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, Connie.
Always fun when we get together. So I'm going to kind of toggle back and forth between you guys and ask some questions so we really can start to uncover and build a really good discussion about respect in the workplace, or really what we're seeing, I think, more frequently than not is disrespect in the workplace, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. So Sin, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
So you're ready to go?
I'm ready to go, Con.
All right. So tell us about respect in the workplace. You know, what's been happening, not even lately, I think for a very long time. And why do you think so much disrespect has escalated and has come to the forefront of attention of everybody these days?
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic, Connie, because a lot of people I've talked with, it just seems that respect in the workplace has somewhat been spiraling downward for years. We're hearing a lot about it now, but I think that it's really gotten to some unprecedented levels where folks are really speaking out on the subject a whole lot more than they did before. And there's a lot of pressure points, I think, hitting that. We encounter it every day in the workplace in some way, shape, or form, I'm sure. But it's been brought to our attention nationally through the media. We've seen the stories of, you know, Larry Nassar at Michigan State, that sad story with the U.S. gymnastics team, the Matt Lauer situation at NBC, you know, a lot of that, the whole Me Too movement, but that's not all of it. You know, the Starbucks with the racial bias issues, the Wells Fargo situation, I mean, where you had employees that were disrespected in a working environment that they were fearful of their jobs and they, you know, made some choices and practices that were very disrespectful to customers under a lot of pressure. And, you know, let's talk about the multi-generational workforce. I mean, we look around and we've got four generations in the workforce and people are talking all about, you know, these young kids, these old people. There's just so much out there that you know, feeds into the whole concept of disrespect. So it goes on and on. And I think, you know, like I said before, I think that now it has just escalated to the point that people are speaking out. They're just saying enough is enough. It's just time to stop the music.
I think an element of that is because of the social media now too. It's everywhere, right? Roseanne Barr, the recent episode with her just disrespectful behavior at just such an exponential level. That was within seconds that it was tweeted, you know, how many hits she got, millions. But I really commend the network for responding so quickly. And
They hopped on it. Yep, they hopped on it. That's for sure.
Yeah. So again, social media. So social media.
And they didn't make
excuses,
and they didn't tolerate it. They just, we can't have this, and that was the end of it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate too, because someone like a Roseanne Barr, just to, again, this is one example of so many. I don't think that people think about what they're saying and the effect, right? The short and long term effect of all the people that, you know, the cameramen, the people who put the food out for the for the taping. So there's such a deep effect beyond what one person's action. And I think, you know, that's what you were saying with the Wells Fargo too, right? So there's just
absolutely
so many moving parts to this.
Absolutely. And it's everywhere. You know, it's, you know, we talk about television, banks, colleges, universities. I mean, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
So, you know, we've encountered it. We read about it, but we've all kind of encountered it in some way, shape or form every day.
Every day. Now, I'd like to ask Al a question. So, you know, you work with banks or with a bank, and your organization, every organization, I think, if you look at their mission statement, there's always an element of respect and the core value. So what the heck is going wrong?
Well, I think, Connie, that organizations certainly mean to do the right thing when they incorporate respect into their core values. They do it for all the right reasons, but then they don't know where to go with it or how to uphold it. To your point before about social media, I think a root cause of the problem is that we have become an electronic society. People communicate via text message, via social media, via websites. Less and less consideration is being given to the receiver's feelings. People are on these social media sites. They just say what's on their mind. They put it out there without any consideration for how it impacts anybody. And as this way of thinking and communicating becomes more and more prevalent, I think we're going to see this lack of awareness embodied in the workplace as well. It's just sort of a natural offshoot.
Yeah.
If we go back a generation or two, you would go into a company and much of the workforce looked and acted the same. Times have definitely changed. Today, our workforce is so much more diverse. There are so many different and conflicting influences that mix with and shape the character of any company or organization. Cultural differences, lifestyle differences, gender differences, multi-generational differences, all of these can lead to misunderstandings and disrespectful behaviors that are contrary to the desired corporate culture that the company is trying to create.
So here's the reality, and I think people listening probably can relate to this, that people within, I don't care what the corporate culture is, right, or organizational culture is, whether it's university, like Cindy was saying before, doesn't matter the industry, line of business, or whatever. I think that we have this as a core value, and then the human factor comes in, and we lose boundaries. We lose that perception of right from wrong, because it's easier to be brave on social media, guys, right, than it is to when it went face to face. I could be so brave on a Facebook quote.
And that braveness is becoming the norm. Like I said, people are becoming conditioned that, okay, it's okay for me to just say whatever I feel without a filter and put it out there.
Yeah.
And when you get into a context where you're dealing with other people and having to take other people's filters and situations into context, you know, it's creating conflict.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
It's tragic, though, that this is what we've become. It's really, truly a tragic, like we said, it's epidemic proportion. Sin, I want to come back to you. So, you know, let's face it. People come to the workplace, and this is what we're saying, right? They have their own attitudes, their own beliefs, their own biases, whatever it is, right? How can organizations make make them, that so, sounds so strong, but make them conform to what this, you know, again, this organizational desire or mission is. How do we do that?
Well, you know, Connie, you're right. I mean, people come to work, you know, with their own individual perspectives, their beliefs, their biases, their attitudes. And, you know, some new research has come out that suggests that people are now coming to work, they want to be more themselves. Yeah. Those of us that have a little bit more life experience, remember in the prime of our career, if you come to work, you had a professional persona, if you will, and you had an out-of-work persona. You acted a different way in the workplace than you did. You were probably a little bit more reserved.
Yeah.
You were a little guarded in what you said. You know, Al's words filter. You know, you filtered some things that you said. And now people come to work and they want to be themselves. And that has kind of created some of these issues because people want to talk about their opinions on things.
Yeah.
They want to just share their viewpoints. And sometimes that comes across with no filter. So that creates some issues right there on top of people coming together or coming to work with their own beliefs and values and biases and whatever. So, you know, to answer your question about conforming, you know, you can't make employees these Stepford employees. You know, people can have their beliefs and they can have their biases, which, you know, we know aren't healthy, but we all have them, whether they're conscious or unconscious. But at the end of the day, it's our behavior. It's our behavior. It's what people observe. It's what people see. And I think that we have lost really understanding of maybe what we say and how we say it impacts other people, going back to Al's point. And it's not just our words. It's our actions, our inaction, our nonverbals, if you will. But behavior is something that we can change. And is everybody going to come to work and say, ooh, I'm going to change? No.
Yeah.
But I think that organizations need to step up and say, hey, there is a certain way that we expect our employees to interact and act in the workplace. And, you know, we kind of call that behavioral accountability, is that there has to be something there, just as if you would have accountability for your work. A certain way things are done, there's a certain way that we expect people to behave. And I don't think that that's so crazy.
No.
I think that that just really impacts a lot of stuff, and we need to take a look at that.
Yeah, and it could be outlined, it could be defined, so people mm-hmm. know what does that accountability look like. And it was interesting, as you were speaking, I was thinking, I have a niece, and she's been out of college, I think, 2 years now. And in, at her place of employment, there's, of course, more senior people who have been in the workforce, you know, a lot longer than she has. And she gets annoyed because they'll say things like, well, those millennials. And then they'll turn to her and say, well, but you're not like that. And so she was confiding in me one day, and she said, well, but why do they keep saying it? And then, but then they turned to me and said, well, but that doesn't count. And she said, it really offends me and it bothers me. She says, I don't go around saying you baby boomers, you know?
Right.
And that's that. That's
I
one.
Think you do.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we profile people, we put them in boxes, and then we say, but you're not really like that. Well, you've already said I am.
the damage was done.
I think that we have to walk it back a little bit and really think about what we say and how we act. Or once again, as I said, how we inact. Sometimes we sit back and we watch it all happen and say, oh, that's terrible, we don't do anything about it. Is that we really have to create more of an awareness, I think, within ourselves.
Yeah.
And organizations on the flip side need to tell people what's acceptable and not. And, you know, Al mentioned earlier, you know, it's part of organizations' mission statements and their culture. We want people to be in a thriving and engaging work environment. But what does that mean? What does that mean for me as an individual in terms of what's expected of me, not only of my job, the interacting with other people with respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what's expected of the company. You know, the company has responsibility with this also.
Absolutely.
Where does that fit into the picture?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of definition, I think, is needed as we move forward on this topic. One more question, Al, before we take a really quick break. But as an organization, what do you see disrespect? What is it affecting on that bigger scale? What's the impact?
I think the better question, Connie, might be what doesn't it impact? Because it just, across the spectrum of everything you're doing at work, it has an effect. You know, as Cindy said earlier, we've all heard the many stories, the Penn State story, the Wells Fargo story, Harvey Weinstein and Miramax, where employees have encountered disrespectful behavior in many, many forms, and that stays with them. You hear stories of, I mean, and you see people talking about instances that happened to them years ago, and it still upsets them, and it affects them every single day now, today. That stuff doesn't go away. Mm. It changes and shapes the workplace experience for them.
Yeah.
The disrespectful behaviors creates huge distractions in the workplace. It prevents employees from focusing on their work. Productivity suffers, workplace morale suffers, mm-hmm. employee contentment suffers, confidence suffers, honest and open communication goes away, HR interventions and HR disciplinary mm-hmm. actions become more common and more numerous. You have your good employees leave and take their talent elsewhere because the environment where they are is too toxic.
Yeah.
It exposes your company to litigation. I mean, I can keep going. The list is long, and it's unfortunately very, very real.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we attract a personnel, whoever it is, somebody that we think is a good fit for the job. And then this disrespect or whatever's happening in the environment that they end up being these great employees, and they think, you know what? I know I could go somewhere else and get a job in a much healthier environment. So we're losing such great caliber people. And that, again, the list you went listed is it's so long and impactful. It's really very tragic, I think, it right?
Is. Yep.
It is.
Yeah.
And think about, you know, the war on talent. Everybody out there is looking for really good people. Well, if I don't have an environment where people are, you know, respectful and it's impacting all these issues, why do I want to work there? So you may have, you know, that may have huge impact in terms of not only retaining good people, but also attracting good people.
Absolutely.
And that's just one layer. You know, the list, Al, was like mind-blowing that you went down. And that's just one huge investment piece of time and money that just blown away. And again, it's because of this crazy behavior that we've all adopted, I think, societally. It's not even just in any one corporation. Let's take a really quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about, Al, and we'll start with you when we come back, but how are organizations, or how do you see organizations actually addressing this issue, if at all? Or is it like, let's sweep it under the rug and make believe like it doesn't exist, right? So we'll take a break and we'll talk about that.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change, Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We're back. We're speaking with my two buddies and my two of my three partners in the round table group, Cindy Rowan and Al Giobi. So guys, thank you again for joining us and discussing this truly, I think, truly important topic that it's like a runaway train, right? And we're trying to figure out, I know at the round table group, our organization, how to stop the madness and create something that will answer and remedy these issues. So, Al, I'm going to, again, start with you. So how do you see, or how do you think organizations are addressing this issue? Again, Cindy, I think you started with the Starbucks. They shut down the business nationwide to offer harassment mm-hmm. training. So what are your thoughts on the training to address respectful behavior in quotes?
Well, Connie, before the break, you mentioned sweeping it under the rug. And for the longest time, that was the tactic that a lot of companies took. You know, there was the old boys club. There was the group of higher ups that were untouchable. You couldn't do anything to them. And if an employee was bold enough to report something that was happening to them or a situation that they encountered, too many times nothing came of it because the person they were speaking about or that had offended them was considered too valuable to do anything with, to discipline or to fire or to do any kind of action with. Recently, I think that, you know, obviously people are finding their voice and they're coming forwards and talking more about things that are happening to them and not standing for it anymore. There have been many different types of ways to address issues like respect, inappropriate behavior, and fearful work practices. But what has changed dramatically, really? I mean, it's the same stories and the same scenarios that we see being played out over and over and over.
Yeah.
Most attempts to create a respectful work culture have been approached from the standpoint of a mandated, compliant, legal approach to these behaviors. Let's send our people for training. Once they have the training, that will solve the problem.
Yeah.
We've seen too many times this is a Band-Aid approach. It barely covers the problem. It checks off the box for the legal protection requirement for the company, but it doesn't address any of the underlying behaviors that cause and create these disrespectful actions in the first place. The real solution, the change that's needed, is that organizations need to start holding their employees at all levels accountable to the same standards of behavior. And this is an area where the Roundtable Group can help companies. I mean, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, and it's true. These Band-Aid approaches have been around, since the 70s when the EEOC, right, it was in the 70s when the EEOC put in the sexual harassment training. And you know, every year at these corporations, right, they play the, you have to go through the sexual harassment video and you know, check off the box, they've had the training. It hasn't helped in the past, 50 years? So why would it change it now? Definition of insanity, right? Let's keep doing the same thing over and over. And let's get the same result, right? Definition of insanity. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, Sin, tell my listeners about the Roundtable Group. And it looks like we're really suggesting a new approach to address that respect piece in the workplace. And, you know, what? Tell me what's all that about. Give us a little blip about it.
Well, you know, it's kind of really exciting because I think, you know, to piggyback on what Al said, is, you know, we see everybody now parading out that same old compliant training. Let's watch the videos. Starbucks, let's close down for 3 hours and put everybody through bias training. And of course, in 3 hours, you're not going to have any biases whatsoever with people. All right. And so, you know, I'm not saying, you know, that the training is bad. I'm just saying that's not going to be the approach. And I think that was somewhat the catalyst for the Roundtable Group, is that we really sat down and said, look, you know, it didn't work before. It's not going to work now. It's a different world. There's different issues. Doesn't matter what the issues are. What the thing is that we need a new approach, something that really is going to put together and connect that personal behavior, that organizational behavior, what we call character. So, you know, at the end of the day, we talked a lot. We said, what are we going to do? I think we got very incensed by all this that was going on. There's got to be a better way. And, you know, one of our colleagues had this brilliant idea that, you know, let's kind of go back in time here. Let's take a look at King Arthur. And, you know, King Arthur's model was the round table, the Knights of the Round Table, the whole visual and the whole conceptual that it's equality all the way around. And whether it's the Me Too issue, whether it's a racial bias issue, whether it's a generational issue, it doesn't matter. Respect is all around the table. It doesn't matter what your gender, what your status is in the organization. Respect is equal. It's all the way around. So we've approached it from that concept that how can we help organizations connect that personal and organizational character? How can we make that connection? Keeping in mind that, yes, people do come to work with their biases and their beliefs. And as Al mentioned before, organizations have these, you know, beautiful mission statements and all kinds of values, organizational values, that I think everybody sets out to do well. but somehow it breaks down. So at the roundtable group, you know, we're really looking to work and partner with organizations, not to come in and do training and check off the box, but to really understand what are some of the drivers that are getting in the way of that respectful workplace. What things can you do better in your workplace where we can actually make that connection with people and with organization and the impact that it has on what organizations are trying to do. So I think it's a fresh approach to something that's been around for a really long time.
Yeah, and again, I think the social media has been around forever, right? And it hasn't changed. Humans are still humans. It's the social media that has I think just made it so in our face lately. And you know, we know as I'll talk about one specific CEO at one of our banks that we have worked with in New Jersey, and she's very forward thinking and very progressive. And even for the companies that are progressive and are trying to think outside of the box to get to the root cause of this and create just a better work environment, we all have room for growth. All of us. I mean, us as individuals, forget about the organization as a whole.
Absolutely. And Connie, think about it. You know, you think about what happened at, you know, Penn State, you think about what happened at Michigan State and NBC. One person, the impact of one person, and what that snowballed into with people perhaps looking the other way, well, you know, they're really doing their job or whatever reason, you know, even if you're doing it really well, you sometimes don't know what's going on out there or people's fear to bring the issues, you know, to light in the organization for other fears. So there's so many things that impact this. There's so many moving parts that I don't believe there's one approach. And I don't think we as the Roundtable Group believe that either. We believe that you really need to look at your organization and what are the things that you might need to pay some more attention to, even if it's you're thriving. What is it? Because one person can really create so many issues.
Yeah, and we do
need... And Cindy, in those examples that you gave, the one person, the Matt Lauer, the Harvey...
Weinstein.
The Joe Paterno. They were all at the very top of the food chain.
Yeah.
And they felt like they were untouchable. You know, I'm so valuable. I'm the star of this show. Yeah. I can do whatever I want. I have that ego that I can do whatever I want, and nobody can touch me, and there's going to be no repercussions for me. And to the point about social media, thank goodness that's changing. The immediacy and the voice that people have now, they're putting it out there, and they're saying, no, I'm not going to stand for this anymore.
That's true. Enough is enough.
And even, you know, in other issues, I mean, even with the Starbucks, I mean, there are so many great Starbucks out there where good things are all happening. And in this one particular instance, someone made a choice.
Yeah.
All right. And it was bad. You know, Wells Fargo, you know, it happened that someone allowed this to continue. So it's not that, you know, it's any one particular issue. It's so many different things. And even, you know, Connie, you talked about the multi-generational workforce. You know, these young kids, the millennials, get thrown under the bus all the time.
Yeah.
That creates a lot of disrespect. Those of us that are little elder statespeople, we're going to be around for a little bit longer in the workplace. You know, it's like, when are they going to retire? So, you know, it's almost like a profiling thing.
Yeah.
We have to create environments where people are comfortable to not just hold the organization accountable, we've got to hold each other as individuals, that behavioral accountability. We've really got to hold each other accountable to that so things don't get big and bigger and disastrous.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, you know, it's all rumbling and it's, you know, it's building itself up. We have time for one more question. So, Al, I'm going to ask you, what if we don't address the issue? What if we keep the old EEOC harassment training in place? What's the downside for us?
Well, clearly the downside is obviously one of the clear ones is going to be that there's going to be a lot more of litigation and expense to companies.
That
goes without saying. This stuff is not being swept under the rug anymore. It's going to come out and there's going to be consequences. Consequences will happen. Another downside, one that we kind of touched on before, is that employers are going to find it harder to recruit good talent to fill positions and grow their company if they're not upholding and defending the kind of respectful culture that employees are seeking. Mm-hmm. And to the point about the millennials are gradually becoming a larger and larger part of the workforce. Their percentage is increasing while the other groups are decreasing.
Absolutely.
We know that they're looking for employment opportunities with companies that are socially aware, where the employees are valued and the company does the right thing. That's very important on their list of priorities. So if a company gains a reputation of having a disrespectful culture, people know that now before they go to work there. They look on Glassdoor.com and other sites that review and rate employers, and they know what's going on before they even go to the interview or walk through the door. People are not going to want to be involved with that kind of negative culture, and they're going to walk away from it and go elsewhere.
It's true. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's true. You know, and just for anybody listening that is a leader in an organization or you own your own company and you have employees, you know, working within your organization, at the root, we're losing productivity, we're losing money, we're losing time, we're losing quality people. If we don't do something different, I don't care what we look at or what component of our discussion today you look at, there's a loss. There's some type of loss of time or money. And, you know, as a business owner, and you know, Cindy, you've been a business owner forever as well, time is money, and to lose money because of silly things that we really can change and control, shame on us for not doing that. And I also just wanted to comment, Cindy, your comment before about the individuals, that we need to stop standing by and allowing it to happen, that individuals have a voice and really can make a difference beyond what necessarily the organization is doing as a whole, too. So I was glad you had mentioned that the individual has more power, I think, than we think sometimes, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
So we're out of time. It always goes too fast.
That was too fast.
Oh, my goodness, right? We could talk about this for another hour because there really are so many moving parts, and there's so many stories, and people listening are probably thinking, oh, they're not talking about, you know, something else that's been in the media of late. If you guys, my listeners, if you're interested in learning more, please reach out to us, the Roundtable Group. You can either go to our website, which is roundtablegroup4.com, or you can email us and one of us will get back to you personally. It's info@roundtablegroup4.com. We're also offering a free white paper for any executives or leaders that are listening, and that's going to be roundtablegroup4.com/white paper. We have a lot of research and data in the white paper that might even help you support bringing this to your organization to say, we do need to do something differently, and maybe here's a potential resource, but also some data and research that you can maybe add to your argument. Al, did you want to say something?
I think we summed it up well.
Okay, cool beans.
Thank you.
Cindy, any last minute brain blast that you have?
You know, I hope that organizations will kind of assess where they are as it relates to this.
Absolutely.
And I hope that maybe individuals will take a look and say, you know, how is my behavior impacting things? Or maybe I'll call somebody and say, that's not right, in a meeting or whatever. It's one change is one person at a time. But looking at new ways to deal with an old problem.
Yeah. And the reality is the problem is not going away anytime soon. So we have to do something differently. Thus the name of the show, Enlightenment of Change. We do have to, right. We have to change something.
Yep.
So anybody that is driving, obviously I gave you the website roundtablegroup4.com, and again, info@roundtablegroup4.com. As usual, I will post that on the Web Talk Radio platform and backlink it so you guys can find us, and again, try to click and get that white paper just for a little bit more information beyond what we were able to discuss in the half hour today. Al, Cindy, thank you so much again for taking the time. And I really think that part of our mission at the Roundtable Group is to educate people and let them know, number one, you have a voice, you the individual have a voice, and number two, that there are alternatives out there so that we can create the change that's just needed, because it's just disgusting what's going on from a society, from a national, international perspective. So again, thank you for being on. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Connie, awareness is what we built this on. It's the foundation for everything.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You know, people need to be aware of what they're doing and what they can control in their environment.
Yeah. And Cindy said it, one person at a time. I love that. I want to change the world one person at a time. So that little mantra works for me, guys. Thank you. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change is so possible and truly easier than I think we often think. We just have to stop and think. And again, I love that word awareness. That's the foundation of us at the Roundtable Group. So become aware, be inspired, be the catalyst for change. You've been, and thank you again for listening, and thank you, Cindy and Al, for coming on. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I challenge all of you to go out and do something differently to inspire those around you and create just a little bit more respect in wherever that is in your world. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman and Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.